A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Today on The Scotchman, Utah State's basketball program's heading in opposite directions as Ryan Odom's men's team sits at 14-3 with the Mountain West available for the taking. Kayla Ard's women's team falls to 3-12 as they struggle with consistency on both ends of the floor. But we're going to finish this episode with an interview with first-year USU gymnastics coach Kristen White as the Aggie gymnasts prepare for the Best of Utah meet this weekend in West Valley. But first, there's a handful of former Utah State Aggies wrapped up the NFL regular season over the weekend, and a couple of former Aggies have some playoff aspirations. He is Aggie super fan, Mr. Hoot Scootin' Boogie Tran. How you doing, Hoot?
What is it? Take a breath now, sir. Take a breath. That's a long intro. That's some, that's Brian Priest, B Priest 24 on the Twitter.
Should I write less on my intro?
I mean,
is that what we're...
as long as you have the breath for it, I'm exhausted for you. But yeah, what's up, man? We got a great show today. Some good stuff. And yeah, like you said, we're starting with the last regular season locals in the NFL for Utah State. Week 8, it's been a long NFL season.
18 weeks of an NFL season. I don't know what it is, but one more week tacked on to 17 makes it seem like it's been a month longer.
Right?
I don't know.
And you and I work in sports. I mean, we do a locals NFL package every week. And we got done with it. We're doing a little decompress down on the TV side. And I'm like, all right, so now locals changes because, you know, the regular locals and the NFL package encompasses all the locals at Weber State, you know, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're now the teams are half gone, right? So we're presumably losing a lot of locals. We still have two Utah State locals and playing prominent roles, at least in the last week.
Yeah, two Aggies still playing in the NFL. I mean, obviously, we're talking about...
Wagner's out, sorry.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner not in the playoffs. So it's Devin Tompkins, the lone Utah State player, a guy who spent the first 15 weeks of the season practice squad, activated for the last 3 weeks of the season.
Impressive in itself to stay on the practice squad as long as that, and then to get a chance to... we talked about this. We called our shot 3 or 4 weeks ago. Okay, he was returning kicks, and he did a pretty bang up job in his first week, getting kickoff return a pretty good amount of number of yards. And then we're like, this is a chance for an expanded role, and he's got him. He got another jet sweep this week, one or two catches, at least four catches, and he had one that he had a ball that went right off his fingertips in the end zone from Blaine Gabbert. So who knows?
We all know what an accurate passer Blaine Gabbert
right,
can be.
Exactly. So, I was like, all right, cool. He's getting a lot of playing. I mean, I don't know how much of that was Tampa Bay because they pulled the quarter really early. If Blaine Gabbert's in, I heard this fact over the weekend or during the game was that was the first QB snap that didn't go to Tom Brady all year.
Tom Brady, I know going into the last week of the season, and I realize this is a Utah State podcast and Tom Brady has nothing to do with the Aggies, but just on that point, a stat I heard going into the last week of the season was that Tom Brady at 45 years old, I think he is, was one of 11 quarterbacks to have started every game for his team in the league this year.
So
it's just insane what he's able to do. But, you know, back to Devin Tompkins, we've talked, we've talked about his role and the way that it has expanded each week that he's been active, from strictly special teams to he took 46 offensive snaps, had nine targets. Whether your starters are on the field or not, you're getting targeted nine times in an NFL game. That says to me that the coaching staff wants to see what they have.
Yeah, he's not going to replace Mike Evans, but he's going to be out there, you know, when they run three or four wide receiver sets, Evans on one side, Godwin either in the slot or the other side. You know, there's a lot of places that Devin Tompkins can go, and we're seeing it. And now he has a chance to, you know, make a run in the playoffs against the Cowboys.
Yeah, so Tompkins, the Bucs, and the Cowboys, first round of the playoffs. Is that a Saturday or a Sunday game, do you know?
I don't know.
I haven't looked at the NFL schedule at all. But
again, I mean, it's exhausting. So I was like, oh, yeah. Like, when it happens, it happens. but Bobby Wagner also, a really big game for Bobby Wagner personally. Going back to Seattle, much like Donovan Mitchell when he came back to Utah last night, or Tuesday night,
but Donovan didn't spend 10 years here and win a ring.
No, he did not.
That's what Bobby Wagner did in Seattle. He was all pro for how many seasons? He won a Super Bowl. He led that defense. I mean, the Legion of Boom, and he was one of the faces of that defense.
And Wagner wanted to stay there in Seattle. Like, he talked about it in the weeks leading up, and how big the moment was for him, and how like he considered Seattle like second home and everything. So that was a big game for him, and I'm glad that he got a warm reception from the Seattle crowd and everything. And it's a shame that it had to end the way it did. And we've been talking about it a couple weeks too, like, where's he going to go next? Like, he can still play, he can still go. So
couple other Aggies played in games this weekend. A lot of Utah State players out with injuries for the season, but Dallin Leavitt played 18 special team snaps as a safety with the Packers, just getting down on special teams trying to make a tackle. And then Patrick Scales, the Chicago Bears long snapper, played 5 special team snaps in the Bears season-ending loss. But, hey, Scales has something to look forward to if he remains a Bear, because Chicago's got the number one overall pick.
Congrats.
That's good, right?
I was about to say, I was like, oh, he's on the team with the number one pick. We'll see how that works out.
Hey, it's the NFL. You can turn a franchise around in one offseason.
I'll tell you right now, his job is probably not on the line for that number one pick, with that number one pick there. So, like, little job security there for him. So, that's awesome. Aggies in the NFL doing pretty well. And, you know, we still got one more to look forward to during the playoff right now.
We'll move on to Utah State basketball. The women's team, Kayla Ard, they are 3-12 now. Another couple of conference losses. A blowout at the hands of Colorado State, 37-point loss. They did have 4 players score in double figures, so some good things going there. But as I look through these box scores for this Utah State women's team, they lost so many players from last season. And when I look at the box scores, everybody who's producing is either a graduate transfer or a senior. So you wonder how many are even going to be coming back next year. So it's a long-term rebuild for Utah State. Prima Cielis has been playing well. Maria Cavallo has been scoring some points and playing well. But last report I saw, I think, against Boise State was that Carvalho was in a boot on the bench as well. So I'm not sure what her availability is. Just really, really difficult.
And you know, like, again, this year, it's not about this year. It's just like, you know, hey, you know, where can we see improvements? Let coach him get what she wants to get ready for the future. And, you know, you're probably going to have to, if you're Utah State, you're going to have to deal with, you know, more grad transfers next year. And I think maybe what do you think? Is the JUCO way to go? Like, go find somebody who's got a couple years of eligibility on a JUCO team that needs playing time or needs to move to a different program.
So. And with that transfer portal, I don't know that you'd have to, like, limit yourself to JUCO at this point.
I mean, it's an option, I guess.
It's just, let's I think you do really have to focus on the transfer portal,
right?
In terms of making sure that you have a Division I roster next year.
Get some athletes that might have maybe at least a couple more years of eligibility to really build something there. It's hard to like them, and you know, even if they go on a run or you know you see some improvement at the end of this year, it's going to be hard because you know you're losing these girls because of graduation, and that's just the long and short of it.
Just one game for the Aggie women this week. They're going to be playing at 5-9 Nevada. That'll be 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. So you'll have a chance to go out to Reno and see if you can pick up your first Mountain West Conference victory of the season. And then the Utah State men's team just keeps on rolling. 14-3 right now. They did fall. I say keeps on rolling because they destroyed Wyoming at home last night, but we can't really skip over that Boise State game, can we?
That was like I said, it was going to be a test for them, and it was a test. They got run out of the building by the no longer Taco Bell Arena. All that talk about the
extra mile arena,
all that talk about the chalupa wrap shots and everything last week was all for naught.
Does it offend you if I had taco time for dinner?
No. I mean, as long as they pay us money, we're good.
Okay.
Some sort of restaurant.
So Boise State. This was just a difficult game for the Aggies, and
just from start to finish.
Watching this game, I tried to sit down and watch it back a second time and wasn't able to. I just haven't had the time yet, but. It looked like, as I was going through this game, that Boise did a great job of really pressuring the Aggies on the perimeter. They were double-teaming and trapping and forcing the ball out of shooters' hands. You know, guys like Max Schulga and Steven Ashworth, and forcing Utah State to move the ball and put the ball on the floor a little bit more than they typically like to. And they just got completely out of sorts. And an observation that one of the announcers made that I thought was really spot on was in the first half, Utah State was just missing shots. They were still getting looks, and they weren't going down. In the second half, it looked like the mindset shifted a little bit, and there was a lack of belief in themselves because the shots weren't falling, because things weren't going well. Boise State, very physical, pressuring the Aggies, causing turnovers. It just wasn't a great game at all.
Yeah, and how do you get out? If you're a young team, but there's still a bunch of young men on this team, and we've talked about that them be their Achilles heel this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
That if their shots don't go down, like that second half against Weber State just always sticks in my mind about when the shots don't fall down, what do you do next? And that's going to be the challenge for that team as a whole this year we've seen what happens when we do shoot well, and it comes down to, do you keep going at what you're doing? Because you know if you start hitting shots, how fast it can change and how good you can be. Or do you figure out, our shots aren't going down. When do we start going to plan B?
The difficult thing from when I'm watching this Utah State team is I'm not really sure, with you and I here talking today, what plan B is. We've seen them. They're very good. Ryan Odom coach teams are good at taking what defenses give them. Mm-hmm. Utah State isn't a team that's going to force the jump shot if it's not there. They're happy to go inside if that's what the defense is giving them. But if you've got a team like New Mexico, for example, that has a very big front line, if New Mexico is defensively able to take away the three-point shot from Utah State, then the Aggies really would not have any answer on the interior. And that's one of the concerns I have. Another concern is Rylan Jones, injured once again. He went down against Boise State. He missed the game last night against Wyoming with in concussion protocol once again.
It's his second time
this season, and he didn't look good when he got up.
No, it looked pretty scary. He was down for a while. I remember looking at the other, whoa, he's still down. And we're a week away removed from, an NFL player getting something pretty scary happen to him.
Terrifying.
We go to sports at first you think broken neck or concussion, which ironically, if that had happened, the game would still be played. But in basketball, you see a player go down with concussion. That's pretty bad. And like you said, second one and...
it's his second one in a month and a half.
Right. Yeah.
Those compound.
Yes. And so this is where we talk about that depth for Utah State, hurting. I guess Wyoming, not going to hurt you, but you know, once you get started getting that, if you want to really make a run at the tournament here, which is you know, what, a couple months away now, yeah, they're going to have to like really figure that out. And there's no easy way to figure it out in season if you're Utah State, so which is a shame. Like, you don't want that year to get derailed because of injury. Been prayers up to thoughts up to Ryland, and hopefully they can keep him safe, Emma. And if he can't come back, great. And
yeah, if he can come back, awesome. If right. if it's not safe for Ryland Jones to play,
then
he shouldn't. He there's no reason for a 22, 23, 24-year-old kid to risk a future like
West basketball. Like, you're not Utah State's very unlikely to be fighting for an at-large spot. Like, you know, what really they should be worried about is the Mountain West tournament. And obviously, you know, if they win enough games, that they'll have a chance, but. That's why you don't want to rush or, you know, do anything, quote-unquote, record-wise to try to get somebody back in sooner than later. So,
yeah. Well, one thind I would like to see with Ryland Jones missing a few games right now is I would really love to see RJ Idlerock. He's last year spent most of the season as a starter. He's been coming off of the bench this year, and you love to see a player like Idlerock keep his head in the game and just do what the team needs. But what I would really like to see from him is he's somebody who just simply has not been a scoring threat in his career with the Aggies, and he's not a shooter. Ryland Jones is not a good three-point shooter either. Idlerock's probably a little bit worse, but what I'd like to see Idlerock do is I think he's got some size at the point guard position that if there's a back to the basket game, maybe you can use Idlerock a little bit in the post on a small point guard, because Idlerock's got good size. He's a little bit thicker for a point guard, and maybe he can give you a little bit in the post, a little bit of a plan B, and then perhaps you get that offensive and just you give yourself another weapon.
That's interesting. I think that's a good call to try to be a little more dynamic. So,
But one thing before we move on, I wanted to point out about this Boise State game. For anybody who watched it, and I don't know the reasoning behind this, but there was no love lost between these two programs.
Yeah,
these
guys didn't super chippy. Yeah,
yeah, it was very chippy. Dan Akin was he's the guy that's always talking. He's always talking to the officials. He's always talking to opponents. But something was wrong with Dan Akin in that game against Boise State. I don't know if something happened and he let something get in his head, or if he was just off his groove or whatever. But Akin was fired up all game long. I was surprised he didn't get a technical in a couple of different moments. And I think it'll be interesting. So Aggie fans, Boise State's coming to the Spectrum March 4th. That's the last game before the Mountain West tournament.
Yeah.
So schedule circle March 4th on that calendar. Man. We've got some exciting games. J.C. Carroll, Jersey retirement on February 18th.
Yep.
New Mexico coming here on February 1st. UNLV is the next home game next Tuesday. And then we got Boise State that last game.
Man, this season,
the Mountain West schedule is so much
crazy
fun
right now. This is like when you said like the beginning, we're like, oh my god, the beginning of March. Like, yeah, we are. I mean, it's still a little less than 2 months away, but still, like, yeah, it's. And I even text them, my buddy and, KSL producer Matthew Alglade, the former host of The Scotsman. And,
the legend, Matt
Alglade. The legend, right. He would always do the Scottish Opens to open the show. But I asked him, like, I didn't get to watch a lot of that game for Boise because I was working, but he did. And I was like, was there any reason for the extra trip? And he goes, not that I know of, but I was like, maybe they just... maybe there is some. I know Utah State likes to have some rivals, and this is, is it the closest rival? I think back in the day it used to be like Nevada. I remember when I'd been a student, like Nevada, La Tech, the teams that I thought were really good. Those are the teams that I like to see more chippiness against. So that could be it.
It's got to be that. I mean, right. Boise State's probably the most natural geographical rival in terms of the Mountain West. I mean, unless you want to talk about Wyoming, but Wyoming, they haven't been at the same level in the Mountain West to develop that rivalry.
Right.
So yeah. I just thought it was interesting. Team after beating Wyoming by 20 last night. They'll head to Reno on Friday, January 13th, taking on the Nevada Wolfpack. A late 9 p.m. tip-off for that one. My bedtime's 9 o'clock.
I know, man. I can tell you exasperated. Like, oh, man, 8 p.m. Pacific. But, man, that's 9 o'clock my time.
They are trying to take advantage of me. I know that they are. But I don't want to take any more time. We've got a great interview with Utah State Gymnastics head coach Kristen White. So we're going to go ahead and
talk about some gymnastics with the Best of Utah meet coming up this week. So it's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, so really excited. We'll go ahead and throw to that interview with Utah State Gymnastics head coach Kristen White. We are joined now by Utah State University Gymnastics first year head coach Kristen White. How are you doing today, Coach White?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you all?
We are happy to have you on the podcast, joining us today on The Scotsman. Really excited to talk about you. And this number 34 program that you've got in the WCGA preseason poll, and this is your first head coaching opportunity. Prior to this, you spent 3 Big 12 team championships at Oklahoma, and your team also finished as the runner-up in the 2010 national championships. As a senior at Oklahoma, you were an All-American on both the floor and the beam. You were a grad assistant for a couple of seasons. Let's start there. What led you from wanting to go from just a career as a gymnast to turning around and teaching athletes that sport?
Yeah, so it's kind of a fun story for me to tell. The whole time I was in college, and it was kind of in my senior season, realized how much I love gymnastics then, right? College gymnastics had brought that passion back to the sport for me because, as you know, gymnastics is it's a grind from a very young age, and you kind of go through some years where they get a little hard and tough and you feel like you're kind of missing out on things. So when I came to college, I found that passion for the sport again. You know, it just kind of started sparking my interest of, you know, maybe college was something that I wanted to do. You know, and I spent some time talking with my the opportunity to be a grad assistant, and I'm gonna go get my master's degree and years and kind of figure out what I want to do from there. Do I want to go into coaching? You know, do I want to go into side? Both actually seem very similar to me because helping people, and that's kind of always been my personality. But you know, I quickly learned during those 2 years of grad school, college gymnastics is what I want to do, and you know, that was where my passion was. And you know, it was during that time that, you know, I really learned a lot about myself and what I could give back to the younger generations if I had the opportunity to coach. So that's kind of where it started. And then, you know, obviously after I graduated, I needed to learn how to coach. You know, I was fortunate enough to have a great career, but, you know, great careers don't always make great coaches. So I really needed to take the time to learn the sport and on the coaching side and learn how to teach athletes to learn how to do gymnastics. So I spent 5 years at the club level and then decided that I was ready to kind of jump back into the college world. And
you jump back into the college gymnastics world as an assistant with Iowa State, where the Cyclones end up finishing in the top 25 each season. What did you learn as a coach in the 3 seasons there in Ames?
You know, I learned that every year is different. You know, each year you have graduating seniors, and then the next year you have incoming freshmen. So every team that you have is different every year. So you kind of have to learn, you know, what the new dynamic is, what your new strengths as a team are and what your weaknesses are. So you know, it's kind of fun. Every year is a different challenge. You know, I think sometimes people get stuck in jobs that are very like monotonous and the same all the time. And, you know, college athletics is definitely not that. You know, it's changing every single day, every single minute that you're doing this career. And, you know, I think I learned pretty quickly the things that work for me as a coach and the things that don't work for me as a coach. And, you know, I've always been able to come to one thing, and that's that the way you treat people is always going to bring out the best in them. So, you know, I think I learned that pretty quickly within even the first few months that I was at Iowa State. And that's something that I've just always held on to each place that I've been at is just building those relationships with the student athletes and helping them be the best version of themselves.
As you said, like every year is a different challenge. Everything is new. 2023 is going to be a brand new year for Utah State gymnastics, really. Last year, they ended up as the top non-Power 5 team in gymnastics. And you're taking over for a team that's losing their head coach, obviously, but also losing six girls. But you brought back 12 other girls to the team. What's it like taking over a team that had one of their best years ever last year and trying to rebuild a program that with some new changes?
You know, I think the great thing is that with the challenge, our team, you know, they still have the same belief that they had back in April. You know, their eyes are on winning championships and continuing to build this program. So I think having the 12 athletes that we had return still be hungry for success for this program has been awesome. You know, they've really bought into the vision from our coaching staff from day one. And, you know, they've kind of really been there every step of the way. Have we had, you know, little hurdles that we've had to go through? Absolutely. But the buy-in from them has been incredible. And we were able to bring in three freshmen and three transfers as well. And they all kind of just molded together. You know, the team chemistry has been really great in the gym and outside the gym. They're starting to hang out and really have that family feel. And, you know, when you have that and you have that bond with your teammates, anything is possible. You know, whether you have the most talented team or maybe not the most talented team that you had before, you know, when everyone's buying into that vision and they're all in together, it can be something really special. And I think that's something that we've been able to see in the gym, you know, every single day that we're in there. They come in, they work really hard, and, you know, they're ready for the challenge and they're ready to step up and have a great season for Utah State.
We're talking with Utah State University gymnastics head coach Kristen White. And coach, you finally get a chance to put your own stamp on a program after several years moving up through the coaching ranks. What was right about the opportunity in Logan for you and your family?
You know, I think the minute I stepped on campus and I started getting to know administration and all the support staff that works with the program and really just the community, my husband and I absolutely fell in love with Cache Valley. The people here are the nicest that you can find, so welcoming. It's a wonderful place to raise a family and strong athletic program. You know, we have lots of sports that do very, very well here at Utah State. And, you know, in my mind, they wanted to keep building this program. And that's something that I've wanted to do since day one. And, you know, I think just my experience as a student athlete and grow the Oklahoma program into what it is today is something that I've always been intrigued by and wanted to be a part of. And I think just getting the opportunity to start my career here as a head coach and have the support that we have, it was a very easy decision for me to make. And, you know, I remember when I got the call that I was getting offered the job, it was tons of emotion and excitement and, you know, a little scary at the same time, right? Moving, starting over, building a new staff, all of those things. But, you know, I think through the whole process, I've enjoyed every minute of it. And I'm just really looking forward to the future of this program.
No, that's awesome. Wonderful. I mean, you know, Brian and I are both graduates, or we both went to school.
We both attended
Utah State. So we know the kind of magic that Cache Valley can have, and I'm sure you've seen you know, the other athletics, especially like basketball and football, and how the students really enjoy those sports there. I want to talk about another program that's in the state that you might be very familiar with, coming from the Pac-12, the Red Rocks in Utah. And the environment that they've created over the past few decades, is that an environment that you can help grow in Logan, Utah? Because, I mean, we see that the students can really affect the way the basketball and football games go.
Yes. I mean, the University of Utah, when you talk about the gymnastics program, I mean, it is a dream to compete there, whether you're a student athlete at Utah or you're a visiting team. You know, the atmosphere that they have created for gymnastics is amazing. You know, 15,000 people in the stands year after year after year is awesome. And, you know, that's my dream and goal here. You know, it's not just coaching gymnastics, but it's building Utah State into a legacy that our fans want to come out, they want to support, and they want to be a part of it. Because I think all of us know fans can change the outcome of any competition that you're at. And I think you see that with football and basketball. You know, our student section, hands down, one of the best student sections in the country. They are all in when they are at those competitions. And, you know, that's something that I want for our gymnastics program. I want them to come out. I want to fill the stands. You know, I want to have their support because I think we have a great product for our fans. It's a great family-friendly environment. It's incredibly fun to watch gymnastics and really just think about the amazing things that these athletes can do, right? You know, it's a hard sport that they got to learn at a very young age, and they work really, really hard to try and be perfect at it every single time they're going. So, you know, I'm excited. I know that the Utah State fans are eager to get out and support all of our sports. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, our first home competition against BYU. It's going to be our Spectrum Magic Night. And, you know, I'm looking for a great crowd, and I hope that, you know, all of our fans come out and show us the support.
Coach, let's go ahead and talk about the Rio Tinto Best of Utah meet. You've been with the program since May, and now you finally get a chance to go out on the mat and compete against somebody else. You've got number 28 SUU, number 22 BYU, and the number 3 program in the country, Utah, in this meet that you're going to be facing. What kind of an opportunity is this to start the season against such highly rated programs?
I think it's a great opportunity to be able to compete in front of your home state with all of the other programs in the state that have gymnastics. You know, it's an incredible event. Our student athletes get the opportunity to compete on the podium, which is something that you normally see kind of in the championships and postseason part of our teams. And, you know, we're just really excited to get out there, get started. You know, it's been a long preseason. We're all very eager to get out there, you know, show our routines and just start building, you know. There could be a couple mistakes. We could have an amazing meet. But I think at the end of the day, we're just ready to get started and to see where we're at and where we can continue to go from here.
All right, Coach, we've got that Rio Tinto Best of Utah. It's going to be Friday, January 13th, 7 o'clock down in West Valley at the Maverick Center. And then you already mentioned it, the first home meet of the season 2 weeks from that Friday. It'll be January 27th in the Spectrum against BYU. Anything else you want to tell the Aggie faithful before we let you go?
Spectrum Magic. Spectrum Magic is what
you
call it.
I love the Spectrum Magic.
Yes, we're very excited for all of our home competitions. We have 4 this season, and you know, I think our fans are going to see some new and exciting things that we've changed with the program just over the last couple months. And, you know, things that I think the fans are really going to enjoy, a little bit more engagement during our competitions. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to feeling that Spectrum Magic. You know, I know that it's real, and our athletes talk about it all the time. And I know that they're just eager to get out there and start performing in front of our home crowd.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for Who Tran. I and myself, Brian Priest, really appreciate you coming on and taking the time to talk with us. And best of luck to you on Friday night.
Thank you so much. It was great getting to talk to the both of you, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Same. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
All right. Go Aggies.
Go Aggies.
Well, who? What do you think? Well, Utah State Gymnastics sounds like they're in good hands, don't
right,
they?
Yeah. So how amazing was Coach White? Like, so number one, doing the job that she's going to do coming in, almost a fresh start, like I said. And she gave a great answer, like, yes, but it's a new challenge. And like she talked about how the athletes are ready to go and how she's ready to embrace that Spectrum Magic. So that was really awesome. So go out and watch some Utah State Gymnastics at the Spectrum when they're in there. If you've never tried it, I think you'll really enjoy it. So go out and check it out. So, again, the Best of Utah meet is going to come up on Friday. That one's in West Valley.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, if it's not that far away from Logan.
Make a 90-minute drive. I think the weather's supposed to be good this weekend. And come down. And really, you get to see not just the 4 best gymnastics teams in the state, but you legitimately get to see some of the best teams in the country.
Right.
And we're talking 2 top 25 teams and 4 top 34 teams in all of the United States coming into the Maverick Center. Yeah. It's going to be an exciting meet.
Could this be magic like we saw from the football team a couple years ago when they got a new coach and that team outdid expectations this year? The way the team ended last year, there's a lot to be hopeful for. So,
where can they find you on social media?
That's Hootran. That's H-U-U-T-R-A-N Superman. That's H-U-U-T-R-A-N Superman. You know, I got to spell my name everywhere. Like, dinner reservations, everything. Just spelled that way. That way people know who I am. I got called Trent last night.
Trent?
Yeah, Trent for two.
I'm sorry, you're not a Trent at all.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I look at you, I don't see Trent.
Yeah, my friend and I, she looked at me, she goes, is that you? I'm like, it could be me. It's this close. Yeah, so. Brian B. Priest, right?
At B. Priest 24. That's at BPREECE 24. And then you can follow my work at KSL Sports. Follow at KSL Sports. Mm-hmm. For all of KSLSports.com's work, thank you for listening to The Scotsman.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.